You will recall that last week we talked about Christ feeding the 5,000 plus. And the reason I say that, you remember, is that there were 5,000 men plus women and children. So you do the math. And you remember that they were excited about him. And part of that excitement there in John chapter 6 was the fact that they thought, well, you know, this guy is going to give us more to eat. Well, if you'll read with me verses 25 through 29, you'll get a better picture. 25 through 29 of John 6, he says this. So when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get there? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You're looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate loaves, you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, What must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the word of God, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. May we be honest with it and learn it and use it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, last week I read online that archaeologists found bread that was 14,000 years old in Jordan. Anybody want a piece of that? You know, that to me, that underscores the fact that we've been eating bread since the beginning. It's important to human beings. I know that as you look at this, you recognize that when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, he's not saying that I'm a big loaf of wheat bread. It's a figure of speech. But we understand here that it's an illustration of a spiritual truth. But the people he was speaking to at the time were so concerned about getting physical bread that they were blind to the spiritual sustenance that was right there before them. Now, as you go through this chapter, this is a long section. There's a lot of repetition. And so I'm trying to bring you through it as I saw it as I studied this week. So, number one, in verses 25 to 29 that we just read, they're looking for the wrong kind of bread. They're looking for the wrong kind of bread. I think it's obvious to us, and we tend to judge these folks, but look at what is said here. Remember in verse 26, Jesus said this. He basically said, I'm not a welfare Messiah. You know what he says there? I tell you the truth, you're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate loaves and had your fill. In other words, they say, hey, when did you get here? We didn't see you. And he ignores that and he says, hey, you're looking for me so you can get more bread. I mean, that's the bottom line, right? I'm not your welfare Messiah. In our world, it seems that the old adage that, you know, the politician says, I'm going to have a chicken in every pot and that kind of thing. So they want to get elected. But Jesus says, I'm not that kind. I'm not a welfare Messiah. I'm giving you the real bread of life. Now look at verse 27. He says, you're working for things that don't count. Verse 27, do not work for food that spoils, but food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Now, there he says you're working for food that spoils rather than sustenance that lasts. You're working for the physical rather than the spiritual. You're worried about the temporary rather than the eternal. Let me ask you, what are you worried about today? What is it that we're seeking for in our lives? What are you seeking for when you came here to church? Some folks come to church, entertain me, make me laugh, make me feel good. Have a cup of coffee for me when I come in the door. You know, they're worried about those kind of things. No, spiritual things. Jesus says, I'm concerned about spiritual things. And then they talk about this work of God. They say, verse 28, what must we do to do the works God requires? Now, maybe they're thinking, well, if we do something for God, He's going to do something for us. A lot of people are that way. Well, God, hey, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give a little bit of money to church and I expect a lot back. Well, God, I'm going to do some good works and I expect heaven for that. And we know that's not what the Scripture teaches. But Jesus says it well. Basically, He says the work of God is not work indeed, but it is faith. It's to believe. Look at what Jesus says down at the bottom of that verse. He says, which the Son of God will, what's the next word? Give you. Give you. There are some that have taken this verse and said, oh, Jesus is teaching works. No, it isn't. No, He isn't. I'm going to give it to you. It's free. Eternal life is free. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 was one of my favorite verses. For by grace are you saved through works, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so He's saying, hey, the work of God is not work, but it's by faith. It's to believe in the Son of God. And He's going to repeat that over and over and over again. So He says, you're looking for the wrong kind of bread. And then you'll notice in verses 30 to 40, they're demanding of God rather than trusting Him. They're demanding of God rather than trusting Him. Isn't that typical of us? Hey, God, if you're really God, you're going to cure me of this disease I got. God doesn't have to do anything. We don't demand of God. Well, God, if you're really there, then you'll do what I want. No, 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 that's not the way it works. And that's what they say to Him. What are you going to do for us? Look at this in verse 30. So they asked Him, what miraculous sign then will you give us that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Tell me, what had they witnessed in the first part of chapter 6? Hello? He fed over 5,000 people, probably closer to 15 or 20,000 people. Is that a big enough sign? What else do you want? You know what they want. Give us food every day. Then we'll believe you. Yeah, that's what they really want. They followed Him, according to chapter 6, verse 2, because they saw a miraculous sign. They followed after Jesus. Thousands were coming after Him. When they saw the 5,000 fed there, in verse 14, it says that they said, this is the prophet. And now they're saying, what will you do for us? What are you going to do for us? And they go on to say in the next verse, Moses gave our forefathers manna for 40 years. Can you beat that, buddy? And Jesus corrects him. I like the way He talks to him. Look at verse 32. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. It was not Moses. It is not Moses who has given you bread from heaven, but my Father gave you that bread. Number one, it wasn't Moses. God just used him to talk to you about it. So get your facts right. Number two, He's given you the true bread of life. Then verse 32, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. Pay attention here. We're talking. He has to keep saying this over and over again. I am the bread that God has promised. He's not talking about a wheat loaf of bread. He's talking about spiritual sustenance. And then, the Gospel of John is full of that word, life. But in this chapter, it's used over and over again. He's saying, He gives life to the world. Verse 27, He said it. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. Again in verse 33, verse 35, verse 40, verse 47, verse 48, 51, 54, 68. He's saying, I'm talking about eternal life, spiritual life. So as He corrects them, in verse 34, there's another demand. Sir, from now on, give us this bread. They can't get bread off the mind. Give it to us. They're demanding again. What does He say in verse 35? I am the bread He says that in 35. He says it in 48. He says it in 51. I am the bread of life. We're not talking about barley loaf. We're talking about eternal life. It's a word picture. Pay attention. Again, he says in verse 38, I have come down from heaven. I am the heavenly bread I talked about. Me. And then he says in verse 40, the first part, I am giving eternal life through my eventual death. As he goes on down, he says in verse 40, the last part, the first part of verse 40, I will give eternal life. The second part, I will raise the dead who trust in me. He keeps bringing back on message. It's sort of like talking to a 3-year-old, right? Now, we can be critical of them because, oh, we understand everything, right? Don't we? No, we don't. We're just as stubborn sometimes as to what God is saying to us. He's saying, listen to me. You're demanding, I want you to trust. How often do we go into the Word, we find a promise given to somebody else, and we say, God, hey, I want that. Well, I gave that to Israel, not you. But hey, I want that. Give it to me. Give me this. Give me that. Give me, give me, give me, give me. And that's the way these people are. They're typical. They not only demand of God rather than trusting. In verses 41 to 58, we see them arguing rather than accepting. They're talking to the master of the universe and they're arguing with him. Look at verse 41. After he's talked about all these things in verse 41, and to this the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Now we see later that he's in the synagogue at Capernaum. And so he's in this group of people. They were not as formal as we are. They would stand up and argue with guys. It's kind of like the Parliament in London. Those guys go, hey, hey, no, 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 no. You know, kind of like our guys were the other day. In one of those meetings, they started talking back. But these people are talking back. They're saying, in fact, what they're doing is they're grumbling. Hey, who is this guy that he thinks he can say this stuff? And Jesus knows what they're thinking. They say, he says there in verse 40, they say in 42, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came from heaven? You know, it's hard to live in your own hometown and be anybody. Jesus said it earlier, a prophet's not honored in his own hometown. That's little Joey. I know him. How can he be running for office? You know, that kind of thing. We know his mother and father. How can he say, I'm from heaven? He's from earth just like the rest of us. He has a mom and a daddy. We know them. But they forgot or they ignored the truth of the virgin birth. All the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah would be virgin born. We also see them ignoring what he had done. Because all the evidence was there. He had healed people. He had fed all these people. He had done all these things and all that pointed to. In fact, they had said earlier, this must be the prophet. The one that God's promised. But now they're saying, who's this guy? We know who he is. How can he say it's from heaven? Now, how did Jesus answer it? He basically ignores that question. In verse 43, he repeats his claim. I like the way he talks to them. He says, stop grumbling among yourselves. That word grumbling is the same word that's used when their forefathers in the wilderness grumbled about the manna. It says they murmured. You know what murmuring sounds like? Murmur, 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 murmur. And remember what they said? Oh, not this stuff again. Every day for 40 days. 40 years. And they're just like their forefathers. They're murmuring. He says, hush up all your grumbling. Listen, let me tell you this. Verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from Him comes to me. What's He saying? You guys are bucking against God. You're refusing it. That's why you haven't learned this. God teaches those who are willing. God calls people. And you are refusing His call. In verse 51, he says this, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Can you get it? Over and over he says, I'm talking about spiritual bread. He repeats this claim, and then he tells them that the bread is his flesh that's to be sacrificed on the cross. Verse 52, look at them. How can he give us his flesh to eat? Here we go again. He says something in verse 53 that a lot of Christians have been turned away from. He says, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Wow. How do you answer that? They keep taking him literally. Jesus is using figures of speech like, I am the light. I am the door. I am the vine. Now, when you say those things, do you picture Jesus as a big light bulb? Oh, Jesus said he's a light bulb. Oh, Jesus said he was a door. Knock, knock, knock. Jesus said he was a vine. Jesus has all these things coming off of. Do you take that literally? No, those are figures of speech. We use them all the time. We hear kids say, oh, I'm really into that band. Do they mean they're part of it? No, they like it. I'm in a pickle. Really? You kind of smell like vinegar, but is that literal? No. I'm fried. I said that the other day when I came in from mowing. I'm fried. I smell like McDonald's. A hard job. This job ate my lunch. Really? All those figures of speech, yes, we use them all the time. What was Jesus saying? Was he saying, unless you literally eat my body and drink my blood, that you won't get to heaven? No. He's saying that he'll sacrifice his body and blood for our salvation. And those who appropriate him personally by faith will get eternal life. Just like you get life from eating your food. You get physical life. By trusting Christ as your Savior by faith, you receive eternal life. And by the way, this is not a reference to the Lord's Supper. I know some teach that transubstantiation changes these elements into the actual body and blood of Christ. And when you take in Christ, no, that's not true. Number one, he had not yet instituted the Lord's Supper. That came a year later before he died on the cross. Number two, when Paul talks about it in Corinthians, he refers to it and he says, this is to be done in remembrance of me. You're remembering what he did on that cross. You're remembering that body he gave and the blood he shed. These people were turned away. Ooh, drinking the blood of this man and eating his body? Come on, people, get real. Of course, you remember that Leviticus said you don't have anything to do with the blood of an animal. You bleed them off. You don't drink that blood. You don't make blood boudin like some folks used to do. I had it. It was pretty good. I don't eat it anymore, okay? Now listen, what he's saying is, when you trust me as your Savior, you receive eternal life. You receive eternal life. You're taking me in. I'm becoming part of you and you're becoming part of me. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 12, the body of Christ. We become part of Him and He becomes part of us. We're bound to Him through the Spirit. The last one. They are rejecting rather than receiving. 59 through 71. They're rejecting Him instead of receiving Him. Now, in verse 60 it says, on hearing it, many of His disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? And what they're doing, and these are not disciples in a true sense, these are followers. You know, some people are just followers. They tag along. Thousands followed Him to get food. But when He got serious, they said, that's not for us. We have so many people filling huge churches because when they get there, they're treated nicely. Oh, you make me feel good. You know, you got the music I like. You just make me feel so lovely. And they're followers. They are not believers. And the minute something goes wrong, boop, they're gone. I'm going to find somebody else that can make me feel good or whatever. And that's what these people are. They followed Him to get the bread. And when he said, I'm not giving you bread every day, physical bread. I'm offering spiritual bread. Okay, we're done. Bye. We're gone. They were offended by His teachings because it was not what they wanted to hear. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:23 that the crucifixion was a stumbling block to the Jews. And it is for these. We don't want to hear it. Go away. You're not giving us lunch. We're gone. And as He turns to His disciples, His 12, excuse me, I'm getting ahead of myself. Last part there, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life, yet there are some of you who do not believe. Your hangers-on, not believers. Before Jesus knew, had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray Him. Verse 65, He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to Me unless the Father has enabled him. From this time, many of His disciples turned back and no longer followed Him. Verse 67, you do not want to leave Me too, do you? He looked at the 12. You're not going to leave Me too, are you? And I like what Peter says. Look at what Peter says. Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Who else can we go to? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that You are the Holy One of God. We know it. We believe it. We trust You. That's a believer. That's not a hanger-on. That's a true believer. And then Christ, a year before it happens, gives that ominous prophecy about Judas who would betray Him. Let me ask you this. The crowds were so concerned about getting physical bread that they were blind to the spiritual truth. Is that you? Do you come to church? Do you go open the Word? Do you come to God so you can say, okay, God, gimme, 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 gimme? Or do you come and say, God, I need You at the deepest level. I need You. I want to serve You. I'm trusting You. Have mercy on me, this sinner. Bow with me for a minute. As we bow together, have you ever received that gift of eternal life? Have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? Nothing else can satisfy you until you have that. All the joy, all the things, all the pleasure can never fulfill your deepest need for forgiveness of sins and salvation. Would you do that today? Just quietly, you may want to pray a prayer like this. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. And I know my sin won't let me get to heaven. But I know that Jesus died in my place and paid for my sin. And I'm asking you right now for that free gift of eternal life. I'm trusting you instead of me. I'm asking you to forgive me and make me yours. Just quietly pray that. By faith. It's not the words that count. It's the faith. Trusting Him. And then if you have done that this morning, share it with us as we sing. Lord, thank you for your word. Help us not to be looking to you simply to get something physical, but to receive that eternal life, and then to become closer to you, to serve you, because we're so grateful for what you've given us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing with us. Would you stand? Open our eyes. Isn't that a good prayer? Open our eyes, Lord. Help us to see Jesus.